Please forgive me for using this cursed machine, but I have a cursed memory of what to do. A song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Keno Hari Krishna Nam. You know that one? Yeah? By heart? Mana prana kandina. What does kanda mean? Yeah. What does kanda mean? It means crying. Kandiya, kandiya. Crying. So, keno means why. Why? Hare Krishna Nam, Hare Bole. Why is it that when I chant Krishna's names, Mano Pran Kande Na? Oh, why does my heart not weep from chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna? The bird of my heart, the bird of my heart does not know what past sinful activities it has committed to cause this inability to chant Hare Krishna properly. O forest bird, I have kept something for you very carefully within the cottage of my heart, and it is the holy name of Lord Hari, which is overflowing with pure sweet honey. O bird, you could learn the chanting of this name if you were taught. Pakhi shakal nam bolte paro keno hari nama nama bolo na. A bird is easily able to speak all names. Why then does this bird of my heart refuse to chant Hare Krishna? Oh, why does my heart not weep from chanting the holy names of Krishna? O bird, come, let us go to the spiritual world, the land of true and everlasting beauty. It is a place where the imaginary man of my mind will never again come. Man of my mind? The mentality, the imagined person. Maner manus, manush, the person who I think I am. The illusory person who I think I am. It is the place where the imaginary man, the illusory person that I think that I am, will never again come. And it will never again, once going there, go on in the revolving cycle of birth and death. Pakire, O bird. At the time of death, your body will simply be placed upon a funeral stretcher, lifted on the shoulders of four persons and carried to the cremation ground. Alas, the cremation fire will then enter your mouth and totally consume your tongue. There will be nothing you can do to save yourself, for at that time it is too late. You will be unable to speak anymore. The bird of our mind should fly properly and speak the holy names of Krishna. Today is, of course, is a very auspicious day, a day that we can perhaps attract some of the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was born on this day, 1838 perhaps, So 1938, so approximately 180 years ago, and he left this world in 1914, so less than 100 years ago. And he is of course, Mahaprabhu is the father of the Hare Krishna movement. It is his Hare Krishna movement. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a very real sense, is the modern father of the movement. Put here so it doesn't slip. This is like my mind. If I lose this, I lose my mind. Unfortunately. Maybe we could use the harmonium case. And at that time, during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the state of Gaudiya Vaishnavism had declined, even though it was only 300 years after the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The state of Gaudiya Vaishnavism was in such decline, and it was in such disrepute to the Sahajiyas. But it was in so much in decline that Bhaktivinoda Thakur looked for 8 years searching for a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, even a manuscript of it, and he could not find one. And this was in Bengal, written in Bengali. So now even it's much easier to find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sparked a revolution in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One could say it was like he was an earthquake beneath the ocean, and it sparked, and not sparked a tidal wave, but it set off a tidal wave that is in the process of inundating the entire world. We don't even have any idea. We're just little tiny foot soldiers in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, doing our little bits of service. But we have no idea how the Hare Krishna movement is spreading. I was speaking to one devotee yesterday, one sannyasi, who had called up a doctor. We had dealt with 6 or 7 months ago, maybe a year ago. And the doctor in Perth, just some doctor in Fremantle outside of Perth, he said, "It's funny that you called today, because this morning I was chanting Hare Krishna, and I usually don't do that." So people all over the world, we don't know them even. They're just chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna's names are spreading. By their own potency, and we should never think that it is us who are doing anything. This is an important point. As soon as we think that we are doing kartaham iti manyate, then if we think like that, if we think in that way, we are in maya, because the reality is that we cannot do anything. We are completely dependent. We dream. We have that maner manas, that the mental picture of ourselves, that I'm doing something. But that person who is the doer cannot enter into Goloka Vrindavan, who conceives himself so big and central to the universe. How will the universe go on without me? Okay, if you want to kill me, if I have to die, okay, but will the universe actually go on? How is it possible? It's obviously ridiculous, but this is basically how we think. It's quite an embarrassment to be in so much illusion. But it is going on by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and the cooperation of so many little souls who are agreeing to be used to the degree that we agree to be used by these great powerful personalities. And that is what Krishna consciousness actually is. It's agreeing to being used in the service of Krishna. And that's what Goloka Vrindavan is even. It's all the souls in Goloka Vrindavan have come to this point of understanding is that I want to be used by Krishna. I'm tired of me being the center. I'm imagining that I'm the center of existence. It's so illusory. So what to do when I'm caught in the middle of this imaginary person who has trapped me by the subtle and gross bodies? What to do being so caught in illusion that I'm the central figure in the universe? What to do? Any advice for me? And the answer is chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and pray to Krishna to help. Because by our own power we cannot get out. We're used to acting by our own power in this world. Especially, this is the conditioning of Kali Yuga more and more. More and more and more. And you look at all the self-help books. Self-help. And they all, most of them, they're very irreligious. Actually, they're really irreligious, because the conclusion of everything is you can really do it if you really want it enough and you really, you know, just get your internal visualizations right or whatever, and you can do it, whatever you want, desire it. The only problem is you don't want it enough. As if we have the power to do anything on our own. What to speak of something big? Soon as the most powerful person, soon as the Krishna pulls out the carpet from underneath his feet, he lands on his head. The most powerful person. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we want to be his servant, and of course, Srila Prabhupada. So that takes some surrender. Okay, it takes an acknowledgement that I would like to become instrumental. That's Gotripte Varanam Tatan Atma Chaita Kopani. This is surrender. We want to become instrumental for Krishna. I don't want to be limited by my own power to do anything. In fact, if I'm acting by my own power, actually speaking, I can do nothing. Actually speaking, I can't even live by my own power. Who will make my heart beat? Who will remind me to breathe? We tend to be so like spaced out and everything in ISKCON terminology. Just imagine if you had to remember to breathe. Keep my heart beating. It's all going on by Krishna's arrangement. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur he spent his whole life, even though amazingly enough he was a very high placed government administrator, district magistrate for many years, and for us who don't have, the Westerners don't have an experience of what a district magistrate, a DM, means. He's practically the governor. Whatever he says, it happens. And he was so in such a powerful position, and his time was spent in bhajan, and he was so brilliant, and that didn't stop him from doing his government service in the most wonderful way. We know that he would, as a magistrate, he would make decisions so quickly, because the district magistrate in India, his position is that if you have a problem that you can't solve, you can go and approach him. Of course, sometimes it helps if you can give him a little gift for his children or something like that. But not Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but one after another, they see people. In South India, they also have DMs. Huh? That's different. That's different. You didn't grow up in India, you grew up in ISKCON. So he would decide. His consciousness was so clear and perfect that he would decide the cases so quickly. He would immediately understand what the essence of the issue was, and immediately come to a conclusion that was true and satisfying. And of course, we know him mostly because of his illustrious son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We know because of his illustrious disciple Srila Prabhupada, who spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. But instead of just speaking about the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I wanted to read some songs and some of his messages, and especially those having to do with the holy names. He had an explanation. He wrote his own explanation. Actually, I've recently read that he didn't. He saw it. I can't remember where he got it from, but I've also read that this was his explanation. But he didn't make it up, as far as I understand himself. O Hari, the first Hari in Hare Krishna, please capture my mind and free me from material bondage, not mechanical chanting, but chanting with a calling of the heart. Having captured my mind, please free me from material bondage. Because Hari means taking away. So take away my mind from the material realm. O Krishna, please attract my mind by pulling it to you. O Hari, please capture my mind by your unsurpassed sweetness. O Krishna, please purify my mind with knowledge about devotional service given to me by your own devotee. O Krishna, please make me able to relish your transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes. This is the desire, the heart, the consciousness is involved with the chanting of Krishna's names. O Hari, please make me fit to serve you. What does that mean? Fit to serve you. Excuse me? Yes. And what does that mean? Fit to serve. What is the fitness that's required to serve Krishna? Yeah, on different levels. Surrender, humility, yeah. Huh? Yeah, prema bhakti. Ultimately to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, the requirement, the entrance examination is prema bhakti. And all the different stages of service require different qualifications. So bhakti actually begins, the doorway to bhakti is surrender to Krishna. So that's one level of qualification. Then if you agree to become instrumental to Krishna, then he can use you as he wants. So that's a service. And then up to the point of prema bhakti. So that's the most intimate, trusted service. And then even faith is the requirement. Also, to do some service, yes, I'm going to do this. Shraddha, vishwas. Or even just agreeing, even when the faith is somewhat malleable, pliable, just agreeing, yes, I should do this. Let me, O Rama, O Hari, please direct me to do some particular service for you. Oh no, O Hari, please make me able to relish your transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, etc. O Hari, beginning with Hare Rama, please direct me to do some particular service for you. That is actually such a gift that we tend to take for granted, to have a particular service to do. that is pleasing to Krishna, that it comes to you through disciplic succession, and to be able to surrender to do that service and give your heart to that service is such a great fortune. That and the association of devotees, Krishna's special gifts, they don't come cheaply, even though we tend to take them cheaply. Because it's not just service, it's devotional service. We tend to take them for granted. O Rama, please let me hear about your most cherished pastimes in the company of your dearest devotee. O Hara, O Radha, please reveal to me your most cherished pastimes with your beloved Krishna. O Rama, please reveal to me your most cherished pastimes with your beloved Sri Radha. O Rama, please engage in remembering your transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes. O Rama, please make me fit to serve you while remembering your transcendental name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc. So to have, because we can work for Krishna and do something for Krishna, but sometimes, Theo, could you open the door? Sometimes the tendency is to engage the body but not the mind. Has anyone ever noticed that tendency? Yeah. Just like the reason why I opened the door, by the way, is because I know everyone has to sit here with their bodies, but in case anyone's mind wants to go out, I thought it would make it easier with the door open. Oh, Hari, having accepted me as one of your own servitors, please enjoy me as you please. Oh, Hari, please enjoy with me in your transcendental way. This is my humble request at your lotus feet. So what a wonderful, wonderful, ever-deepening meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood. And when he would chant Krishna's names, there is one disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who took first initiation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then when Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away in what year? 1914. And what year was he born?
1838.
What year were you born?
1936.
Oh. So this devotee eventually took sannyas from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he used to live next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Godrum. So he would watch and hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanting Krishna's names, his japa. And he said that when he would chant, he would wake up very, very, very early, basically in the middle of the night, perhaps from 1 o'clock. And then he would go into the yard of his house and chant, and he would walk back and forth and chant Krishna's names very loudly, as if calling to someone. He was calling to a person. And then when he would get tired, he would sit down on, there was a bench there, and he would sit there and chant, and then he would get up and chant in a very wonderful way. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, we know him as having that wonderful vision from his kutir in Godrum Dweep of Sridhar Mayapur. And also he was and that wonderful vision was that there would be an extraordinary Adbhuta Mandir temple built just across, and some say that is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, but we take Prabhupada's mood that this temple will be built. It's the temple of the Prabhupada called the temple of the Vedic planetarium, which will be very huge and something special for Mayapur. And later on, perhaps the last thing we'll read, not quite yet, is a letter very close to the time he left this world. What year was that he left? 1914, yes. In 1910, he wrote a letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when I read it, it was very interesting because so many of the things that he wanted became the heart of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya Math and were passed on, and Srila Prabhupada took them up. But here's another song. One of my favorite songs. Boro Sukha Kabo Kai. Do you know that one? Surabi Kunjete Namar Hate Kuleche Kolanitai Kolanitai. I'll read the translation. I'm singing news of the greatest happiness. I guess according to our consciousness, we have different conceptions of what the greatest happiness would be. If I was a mouse, that concept would be a whole room full of cheese and no cats. So what is Bhaktivinod Thakur's concept of the greatest happiness? At the place known as Surabhi Kunj in Sri Nabadweep, the marketplace of the holy name has now been opened, and Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale, merely for the price of one's
faith.
Shraddha mule sudha name sahatete bikai. And all one needs, the price to take the holy name, is just one's faith. Seeing the assembly of devotees eagerly waiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each of them to test their qualification. What is the qualification? Faith in the holy name. And then he sells them the name by bargaining his price accordingly. Oh, my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me, for I'm now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus, you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I will also take my due commission. And in this way, all three of us will fulfill our desires. Who are the three persons? Nityananda Prabhu, Bhaktivinod Thakur, and Lord Nityananda. Because Nityananda Prabhu wants to distribute the holy name, and we will take it. And Bhaktivinod Thakur will take his commission. What is the commission of Bhaktivinod Thakur? Everyone who preaches knows the commission. What's the commission? Yeah, you get some benefit. Krishna gives you a little special mercy. And therefore that's one of the there's so many reasons why a devotee will preach. One is on the order of Prabhupada we preach. We may feel like it, we may not feel like it, but he's asked us to do it. So our feeling like it or not feeling like it is irrelevant. But another reason is that people are really suffering. But another reason, and this will help them, and another reason is that if I preach, If I help others in Krishna consciousness, help them take the chanting of Krishna's holy names, then Krishna is very pleased. And he said, okay, even though you don't have very much qualification yourself, here, take this. Take some mercy. And this is one of the main reasons why Harinam Pachar, the preaching of the holy names, that this is part of the process that's required for one's own spiritual development, is because we don't have the qualification to do deep Nam Bhajan ourselves because of the crazy mind mostly and the crazy culture we're situated within. So by preaching, our qualification increases, even though our preaching service may be very humble. But again, everyone's service is humble. It just depends on how Krishna wants to use us. We can only, forever, only be insignificant servants. There's no moving up from that. And then if Krishna uses us, however he uses us, is wonderful. Because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, let me serve you in such a way that's pleasing to you. So all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful. Accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gaura, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulence. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you're renounced, then just live in the forest. Either way, nothing more will trouble you. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest amongst men. Bhaktivinoda loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter. And just move to the side, please. So his teachings are very, very, very deep, simple, but deep and significant, and very practical instructions. And he did this in the songs. Just imagine if people nowadays on their iPods, as they were jogging, they were listening to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs instead of the currently listening to. I'll read this letter right now. So this was in 1910. How many years before Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this world?
4.
Yes. And that's without computers and calculators. We can still do it. I once saw a cartoon with some teachers looking very frustrated and angry, pointing to a student, a third grade student. saying, because one day your computer and calculator may break. That's why you have to learn how to add. So this is the letter that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1910, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And note how he so deeply carried it out. His address was Saraswati. People of this world who are proud of their own aristocratic birth cannot attain real aristocracy. Therefore, they attack the pure Vaishnavas, saying they have taken birth in a low class families because of their sins. Thus, they commit offenses. The solution to the problem is to establish the order of Daiva Varnashrama Dharma, something you have started doing. You should know that to be the real. You should know that to be the real service to the Vaishnavas. Establishing Varnashrama Dharma, and Prabhupada really tried to do this and succeeded to some degree. But this was one of the purposes of the rural communities that he wanted to establish. So important. Our preaching is so much hampered by not, because we can criticize materialistic civilization and the way that society is run and how people live nowadays. We can criticize. And then when people say to us, well, how do you say we should live? All we could do is hand them a book. We can't show them. Well, we have a community here. It may not be very, very big, but we have a community in which people are living and satisfied, living a simple rural lifestyle. That's based on the principles of Krishna consciousness, that it's supportive of Krishna consciousness, not completely in opposition to Krishna consciousness. So it's been a great failing that we've not been able to properly establish it. I assume Krishna is going to, it's Mahaprabhu's movement, so he's going to do it in his own way. And you know what as Prabhupada said in New Vrindavan, what the center of that community is? You know. Yeah, it's the deities. Everyone, because that's Krishna consciousness, that we think ourselves a servant of Krishna, of the deities. So when living in a practical way, thinking in terms of, let me do this yatta pravata bhutanam, let me do this work, till the land, teach this, that, in such a way that the deity will be pleased. This, the concept is quite foreign to the especially the Western civilization, to act in such a way that God is pleased. And he's right there and I can do something, I can cook for him. And my land, it actually ultimately belongs to him. And the produce that I have, I should give him his part. This is his land. By his mercy, I'm living on this land. And by his mercy, the crops are growing. I'm able to live. Learn to love the deities as the center. That's the center of the rural community and also of the urban communities. We're all servants of the deities. The solution to the problem is to establish the order of Daiva Varnashrama Dharma, something you have started doing. You should know that to be the real service to the Vaishnavas. Because pure devotional conclusions are not being preached, all kinds of superstitions and bad concepts are being called devotion by such pseudo-sampradayas as Sahajiyas and Atibara bodies. Please always crush these anti-devotional concepts by preaching pure devotional conclusions and by setting an example through your personal conduct. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very, very powerful at crushing and set a very high example, and he established Varnashrama, actually. That's one paragraph. Please make great effort so you can start parikrama of Sridham Navadvip as soon as possible. Raise your hand if you've been on Navadvip parikrama. Quite wonderful. So it wasn't going on. Nityananda Prabhu had taken Jiva Goswami on parikrama, Navadvip parikrama, and Srinivasacharya, I believe, had been taken. But the practice had stopped to see all the pastime places of Mahaprabhu. So please establish this as soon as possible. It is by those actions that everyone in this world will receive Krishna Bhakti. Please try very hard to make sure that the service to Sri Mayapur will become a permanent thing and will become brighter and brighter every day, because before Bhaktivinoda Thakur established Sridham Mayapur as the true birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was unknown, it was a forest, it was a jungle. So it was actually a lot of work, even though now we take it for granted and don't really think about it. But it was so much effort that our predecessors took to establish this. Or even now, there's such a tendency not to take the effort of the predecessors into account. Even this temple over here, how much struggle the devotees. Now it's like an albatross that's already flying. But it took so much effort from so many devotees to put down the marble, to this and that, the purchase and this and that, and to maintain the deity worship, etc., etc. And we now enjoy the fruit of their hard work. Please try very hard to make sure that the service to Sri Mayapur will become a permanent thing and will become brighter and brighter each day. The real service to Sri Mayapur can be done by acquiring printing presses, distributing devotional books and sankirtan, preaching. Please do not neglect to serve Sri Mayapur or to preach for the sake of your own reclusive bhajan. Because Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur had the full capacity to sit alone and be fully absorbed in Krishna's holy name. So just see how these moods that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had been exactly passed on by Srila Prabhupada, imbibing them, and he's passed them on to ISKCON. When I am not present anymore, please take care to serve Sri Mayapur Dham, which is so dear to you. This is my special instruction to you. People who are like animals can never attain devotion. Therefore, never take their suggestions, but do not let them know this directly or indirectly. Practical advice. I have a special desire to preach the significance of such books as Srimad Bhagavatam, Satsandarbha, and Vedanta Darshan. You have to establish that responsibility. Sri Mayapur will prosper if you establish an educational institution there. And teach these books. Never make any effort to collect knowledge or money for your own enjoyment. Only to serve the Lord will you collect these things. Never engage in bad association, either for money or some self-interest. Signed, Kedarnath Datta Bhaktivinod. Quite wonderful, yes? I mean, there was practically unlimited books he wrote. Who knows the name of one of his books?
songbook, Kalyana Kalpataru, another one, thank you. Krishna Samhita, a book that was very much a very interesting book. Jiva Dharma contains the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness from the beginning to the most advanced stages in summary form through the lotus mouth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Harinam Chintamani and its companion volume, Bhajan Rahasya, on how to chant the holy names properly and let the holy names bring you to the topmost position. Any others? There's three more songbooks and some books about Navadvipa Bhava Tarangi, and there's another one, Damparikrama and Mahatmya. These are all about the glories of Sri Dhammayapur Navadvipa. And three other song books, Sharanagati, Gitamala, and Gitavali. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur would translate these very wonderful books that were written in Sanskrit by the Goswamis very much, and he would translate into Bengali late at night for the people. He would translate it, and he would add wonderful things. You know, very, very deep and making them easy to access. Any other books? He published commentaries on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. He printed and printed because, again, these books were not available anymore. Any other books? Anyway, there's this extremely long list of books that he wrote and published. Dasamulatattva. Yes. This Amnaya Sutra. Here's a song that perhaps expresses the ultimate of what the holy name can award. Because we think, you know, how am I going to make any advancement? We should think like that. The answer to that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in the final song in his Saranagati songbook. This is the ultimate gifts of the holy name. It's called Sri Nama Mahatmya. It starts Krishna Nama Dari Bolika Bal Kotova. What power? It is actually a commentary on the verse Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashuddha Nitya Muktyo Abhina Tam Namano. What power does the holy name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires, just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. The holy name speaks from within my heart. It moves onto the tip of my tongue and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up. My body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration completely soaks my body. And all my skin thrills with rapture, my hairs stand on end, and my complexion turns pale and discolored. My mind grows faint, and I begin to experience devastation, and my entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstatic emotions. While causing such an ecstatic disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of Godhead. He does not allow me to understand anything, for he has made me truly mad by having stolen away my mind and all my resources. Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. I'm not capable of describing all of this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts on his own sweet will. In whatever way he becomes happy, that is also my way of happiness. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love, and it is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. Thus my heart is abducted and taken directly to Krishna. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Braja and reveals to me his own loving sports in Vrindavan Dham. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body. It keeps me right by Krishna's side and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. The name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Whatever is touched to it turns into something most valuable. A mine of all devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. Now, I'll read a little of this. The last thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote while still in this world is a verse of 12 vows. Swaniyam dvadasakam. His own personal fixedness in vows. I'll read the first one. Birth after birth, let me be attached to the following, come what may. Because our lives, according to our karma, purabdha karma, what karma we're carrying with us, they will have their ups, their downs. Well, some days everyone will say, well, you're such a great devotee, so wonderful. And then another day everyone will be saying, you're the worst devotee, you're a curse on the universe. Go away. One day we're rich, one day we're poor, one day we're healthy, one day we're poverty stricken and miserable and unhealthy. It's just the nature, according to our karma, this is what happens. So that's come what may. Whatever happens to me on this level, I want to be attached to the following, regardless of anything that's going on externally. First, my spiritual master. Two, to Lord Sri Gauranga. Three, to the topics of pure devotional service as instructed by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Four, to the holy places of pilgrimage, which are blooming with sanctity due to his performance of pastimes. Five, to my diksha mantras. Six, to the holy names of Sri Hari. Seven, to the beloved associates of the Lord. Eight, to the holy days associated with Lord Hari. Nine, to those persons who follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. And ten, to the Shastra enunciated by Sri Sukadeva Goswami. What is that? Srimad Bhagavatam. Two, within the forest of Vrinda, which is that?
Vrindavan,
which is gloriously rich in the treasure of Madhurya Rasa, the sweet dealings between Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. Sri Krishna, in that forest, the personification of rasa, gives transcendental bliss to Sri Radhika, who is the topmost manifestation of his divine potencies and the personified form of the supreme mellow of love and separation. This same Lord Krishna is identical to the son of Mother Sachi, who resides in Godadesh and teaches the process for rendering his own devotional service. May this Satyanandana be my supreme master, birth after birth. So that he wants to be attached to Mahaprabhu. Let not renunciation be fit for my acceptance if it does not give rise to loving devotion. Let not knowledge appeal to me at all if it does not admit to the individuality of the Lord and the Jivas. I have no desire at all to practice the Eightfold Yoga process. None of these are productive of happiness, of the happiness of serving Lord Hari, such as his confidential worship. Therefore, let such abundant confidential service to Sisi Radha and Krishna be mine. So that's the path as enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Anyway, he's written unlimitedly wonderful, deep instructions for us. And we should take advantage. But I can't resist one more song. This is right before that song that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about what the holy name can ultimately do. He presents this song that we know as Kabe Habe Bolo Sejin Amar. When will that day be mine? This isn't my favorite translation of it, but it's still. Please tell me, when or when will that day be mine? This is the desiring of an exalted soul. When will my offenses cease and a taste for the holy name increase? When will I be infused? Now, when will this be infused within my heart by the power of divine grace? Feeling myself lower than a blade of grass, welcoming the quality of forbearance into my heart, and giving honor to all living beings, and being freed from false pride, when will I taste the essence, the liquid essence of the holy name? When will that day be mine? Wealth, followers, beautiful women is described in worldly poetry. I do not want any such bodily pleasures. O Lord Gaurahari, please give me only unmotivated devotional service to your lotus feet, birth after birth. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When, while speaking or saying the divine name of Krishna, when will my body be thrilled in ecstatic rapture? When will my words choke with emotion? When will I lose the color of my body and my body be filled with ecstatic trembling and streams of tears flowing constantly from my eyes? When, oh when, will that day be mine? When in the land of Nabadweep, on the bank of the Ganga, when will I run about innocently yet madly calling out, O Gauranga, O Nityananda, dancing and singing? I will wander about like a madman, giving up all considerations of proper social behavior. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me? When will he release me from the illusion of worldliness? When will he give me the shade of his own lotus feet and bestow upon me the qualifications necessary to enter into the marketplace of the holy name? And what was that qualification?
Faith.
When will that day be mine? Somehow or another, I will buy, steal. Somehow or another, I will obtain the sweet mellows of the holy name of Lord Hari. And being thoroughly intoxicated by those liquid mellows, I will be stunned. By touching the feet of those great souls who are expert in relishing those mellows, I will be constantly immersed in the sweet nectar of the holy name. When will that day be mine? When? When will there be an awakening in me of compassion? Compassion for all fallen souls. Then this Bhaktivinod will forget his own happiness, and with a meek heart he will set out to propagate by humble submission the sacred order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sri Sri Gaunatai ki
jai.
Sri Sri Baladev Subhadra Devi Jagannath ki jai. Sri Sri Radhabalava ki
jai.
Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
No time for questions, unfortunately.